Hey, it's Kyle Meredith, host of the Kyle Meredith With podcast, presented by WFPK at WFPK.org and the Consequence Podcast Network. It's a series that puts the spotlight on iconic musicians and actors, inviting them to drop by and talk about their latest projects, whether it's albums, TV shows, films, or beyond.
I'm going to say something I don't want to say. Here it goes. Without Spinal Tap, there is no Tenacious D.
Whoa. Man.
We get great stories and the biggest scoops from people like Garbage's Shirley Manson, the 1975's Matty Healy, Jack Black and Kyle Gass of Tenacious D, Maya Hawke, Kiefer Sutherland, and everyone in between. New episodes arrive every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, so it's a great way to keep up with your favorite artists and discover some new ones. You can find Kyle Meredith With on the Consequence Podcast Network or wherever you get your podcasts.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Borahe, Iconic Army.
Borahe.
So this past week, we got to experience our first K-pop concert that wasn't BTS.
Right.
And it was so special and so amazing. We got to go see Enhypen in Fort Worth. And a couple things that made that even more special beyond the concert itself and Enhypen themselves, because they were incredible, is that the first time we ever saw BTS was in Fort Worth.
Right.
So we were already super excited to have that, you know, kind of like dual meaning behind Fort Worth and concerts for us now. But on top of that, we got into our hotel at like 3 a.m.
Yeah.
after all leaving, you know, from work on Wednesday night. And so we didn't know our surroundings at all. But when we woke up and looked outside, what we saw right across the street from our hotel,
right across the street,
literally on the other side of the street, was Fort Worth Convention Center, which was where we saw BTS for the first time.
The first time ever.
And that morning that we woke up was the morning of the Enhypen concert.
Yeah.
And so we looked and we reflected, thinking about the lines. I mean, hundreds of people already wrapped up all around the building at 8 a.m. that time.
This is the Love Yourself concert.
The Love Yourself. Not even the Speak Yourself tour yet.
The Love Yourself tour. Yeah.
Yep. And so what was that? September. I'm going to say September 17th, 2018.
Nah, it was like the very end of September.
Yeah.
Very end of September, maybe even early October, because that year of 2018, I had just graduated from school, gotten my first job, and then also went to go see BTS for the first time. And then weeks later, which was October 13th, is when I married Corey.
Yeah.
And I remember because that was Jimin's birthday.
Right.
So it was,
September,
there was a lot of parallels.
But there was a lot of parallels.
Yeah.
And so it was like just sweet to have those parallels, like to be nostalgic and reminisce over like our amazing BTS moment there in Fort Worth, like literally right across the street from our hotel, was phenomenal.
It was so funny how we found that out though, because we were walking to our car in the parking garage to be able to go to Dickies Arena to kind of scout out the Enhypen concert before it started.
Right.
And so it was like early in the morning, like 9 a.m. and through the car, like the parking garage, we could see out. There were like these just slots where you could see out. And I saw this very round looking building.
Right.
And I remember thinking or saying out loud, is that the Fort Worth Convention Center? Like, it looks so much like it.
Right. And we had just been talking about like making sure to go drive past it for the nostalgia.
Our car was literally facing it.
Yeah.
And since we had gotten in at 3 a.m, of course, we didn't see it at the time.
Right.
And it's just so funny that when we made the reservations for this hotel, had no idea that the Fort Worth Convention Center was literally
right
on the
there.
Other side of the street.
Right.
Literally on the other side of the street. So I ended up going and getting Starbucks at the Starbucks that we had gotten Starbucks when we were at going to see BTS at the Fort Worth Convention Center.
Right.
I walked around the space just to see like where we had kind of walked back behind where we shouldn't have, where like BTS maybe had entered, right, and like the security
staff
guard
were like, get out of here.
They were like, get out of here, what are you doing here? And we're like, shit, we didn't know.
Yeah.
Seeing where all of the gates where we all had to line up before we entered, seeing where we had to enter the line to go get our wristbands, right, for our GA entrance.
Just seeing where we like stood and sat for literally hours, yeah, waiting for, you know, to get our wristbands or just waiting to go into the venue.
It was very nostalgic, yeah, and it just took us back to 4 years ago, the mm-hmm very first time we ever got to see BTS. It took us back to our beginnings with BTS, yeah, and the feelings of love and mm-hmm just like all consuming just admiration we had for them at the time. I mean, yeah, we still do, but like it's so different when you first get into it. You're just, yeah, like learning so much and your love for them is out of this world. Mm-hmm. I mean, it still is today, but something about when it first happens, mm-hmm, it's like that puppy dog love.
Right.
I know that's cheesy to say. Phase. It's like a honeymoon phase.
Right.
With them.
And
yeah,
I mean, so I just feel like realizing all of that really set us up to have like an amazing concert experience with ENHYPEN. Something else that I was just thinking about was before there was even a name for Iconics, we met up with like our first listener.
Yeah.
I don't know, Dakota, if you still listen, but Dakota reached out to us and let us know that she listens to the podcast way back then and that she was going to the same concert and wanted to meet up. And we got to meet her and hang out with her and we had a great friendship. And she actually,
right,
visited us in Kansas City one time, Jordan and I, and we hung out with her and her husband. And mm-hmm that was back then. And then at this ENHYPEN concert, we got to meet up with one of our listeners with an Iconic Sam again and
yeah,
see Sam. He was
an Iconic. Yeah.
And so, you know, to like see an Iconic in both places and to just know that like our people, like the people that we really love and connect with in our K-pop community, like were there with us too. It was mm-hmm amazing.
Yeah.
On that note, welcome back. We're your hosts. I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany. And this is Stanning BTS,
your favorite informative fangirl podcast.
Yeah. So today we're going to hang out for about an hour and we are returning to the ship series.
Hell yes!
It has been so long since,
oh my God,
we've done the ship
so
series.
Long.
It's
February.
Been since February. That is right. So today we are talking about Namgi.
Yeah.
Talking about the ship Namgi. It's so funny because we both were like, have we done this ship already?
Mm-hmm.
Because we just talk about these two all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But the truth is we've never actually in depth covered Namgi.
Right.
So at the end of this episode, we are going to get a little bit into the FACT Music Awards as well. So stay tuned mm-hmm for that. But really this episode, we're going to talk about the friendship, the flirtatious moments, and really the producing songwriter relationship,
right,
that Namjoon and Yoongi have together.
How are you? I'm fine, thank you. And you?
Oh, I'm fine, thank you.
Super excited to dive into that. But before we do want to say thank you, Iconics, for being here and for all of your support. If you'd like to support us even further and have access to our episode documents, our monthly virtual Iconic Hangouts, or our super fun pre-recording sound checks where we just kind of chit chat and catch up, talk about what's been on our mind or some exclusive content that you'll never hear on the podcast, then please do that or consider joining us on Patreon at patreon.com/standingbts to get all of those things.
Or if you'd like, you can make a one-time donation at paypal.me/standingbtspodcast. Your support helps us to improve the quality of our content or to continue supporting us bi-weekly. Any type of support is super appreciated. Thank you for being here and for listening.
Mm-hmm. So if you didn't know already, October is Pregnancy and Infant Loss Awareness Month. The chances are pretty high that you or someone you know has lost a child to stillbirth, miscarriage, SIDS, or any other cause at any point during pregnancy or infancy. This month is all about raising awareness of the prevalence of pregnancy loss and infant death. Unfortunately, tens of thousands of families across the United States are devastated each year by the death of their baby. But the grief of these families and the value of their babies' lives are very rarely acknowledged. And there can be so much stigma around talking about infant loss or just child loss in general. So the Star Legacy Foundation, which is starlegacyfoundation.org, has numerous information available about how to support bereaved parents with understanding, as well as education on prevention efforts, which may lead to the reduction of these tragedies. So we really encourage you to go visit that website. There's just just a wealth of information, not only in how to respond to a situation if someone you know is experiencing this, but also how to educate yourself and others into hopefully avoiding some of the things that can maybe cause these things. On October 15th, that is World Pregnancy and Infant Loss Day. So on that day, we're asking for your participation in the International Wave of Light, in which people all over the world will light a candle at 7 p.m. local time to honor the lives of babies gone too soon. I will definitely be participating in this. And if you would like to find some more educational information, some methods of support, or donate to the cause specifically, you could do that by donating at www.starlegacyfoundation.org.
Yeah, thank you so much for supporting. I know that we both are kind of at the age where a lot of our friends and family are getting pregnant, mm-hmm. and we've seen the other side of this. You know, we haven't personally experienced it, but we've, mm-hmm. you know, have people who are so close to us who have, and it's just really devastating and out of women's control, yeah. really. So I think this is just such a wonderful organization and awareness to really bring light to that, and yeah. so that these women don't feel so alone or mm-hmm. feel stigmatized or feel like they can't express what they're going through,
right.
you know, without any kind of judgment.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you for your support on that this month. And, mm-hmm. You know, let's visit that website.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Thanks, guys. Okay, let's go ahead and get into Namgi. So typically for the ship series, we will draw a couple names when we go and decide what ship we're going to do, mm-hmm. which we did do.
Right.
But we've done all of the Taeyang ships, and we're kind of getting down to the last few ships yeah. of the ship series.
After this one, we only have 5 left.
That's crazy.
Isn't that
to me.
Fucking insane.
Yeah, that is crazy to me.
Our longest going series.
Really? Yeah. yeah. One of our best. I feel like this has yeah. been one of our best series.
I love yeah. shipping, so. Yeah.
So when we were drawing, Kayla, you, I believe, drew Namjoon.
I did. Of course I did. Yeah. Who else? I drew yeah. the sexy man Namjoon.
Yeah. yeah. And then I drew Jin, and I was like, nope. We've already done Namjoon.
Right.
And the second one I drew was Yoongi. And Hell then we yeah. had to think for a moment. We were like, wait. Have we done Namgi? Right. Like, have we done that one? We had to like double check. We had to go on like Apple Podcasts, make right. sure we haven't done it before. We haven't.
No.
We've just talked a lot about Namgi.
Right.
But never have done a ship series
officially.
On them. So we are here today to talk about them finally.
It's the day.
Yes. So let's get into the overall history of Namgi. Namgi met on November 13th, 2010.
Wow.
So Yoongi of the Golden Disc Awards, he ended up saying, "We have seen everything about each other, the good and the bad." Mm. So what's so special about this friendship is that they have a real deep personal bond because they have such a long history with one another.
Yeah.
You know, they were some of the very first members of BTS, and they have known each other the longest out of everyone in the group. Mm-hmm. So this is the longest ship. They share dreams together. And they've been by each other's side, supporting one another through the toughest of times and through the best of times, through all of their losses and all of their wins. Mm-hmm. So in this interview that I really want to talk about, that I think so strongly about Namgi
right.
from the early days, is the interview that they ended up doing with Be Free.
Mm-hmm.
If you are one of our $1 patrons in our doc, you can find the link to this interview. But this interview was one of those where it was super unpleasant. It's like really painful to watch.
Right.
It is just Namjoon and Yoongi with a bunch of other like hip hop, underground hip hop rappers in the industry. And you think that they're there for their best interest, but the interview really takes a turn. This interview happened shortly after their debut, after BTS debuted.
Mm-hmm.
And Be Free decided to go off script and asked if BTS was really hip-hop. And he said that since both Namjoon and Yoongi were now idols, that they really weren't hip-hop anymore. He asked Namjoon specifically to define what idol is, and he asked them to describe the difference between rap versus hip-hop. It was, like, very degrading, very belittling,
right.
the
right.
way that he was asking these questions. And he continues to tell Namjoon that idols are not musicians, but they're an industrialized notion, and even goes as far to say that wearing makeup on stage is gay or like a girl, and that it misaligns with hip hop culture. I mean, it's painful. It's right. super painful. It makes every ARMY want to like fucking throw hands, right. you know? But this is like the early stages of being BTS. And Namjoon, of course, is trying to stay as calm and collected. And he keeps saying, like, I see both sides. I see both sides of this. I get it.
Right. But he's really not trying to have a hostile interview environment. No, you know?
But Be Free is just like really taking it mm-hmm. to that level. Mm-hmm. Like, he seems like he's enraged almost, but right. he's asking these questions like, do you even know what hip hop is? How can you say you're a rapper? How can you know? And it's really directed at Namjoon, because Namjoon, being the leader of BTS, is the one who's really speaking on behalf of the group. Mm-hmm. But even though Namjoon is staying so calm and collective and trying to see both sides, he says, I've written my own lyrics. And if you listen to our music, you see that like our lyrics are not about surface topics like right. clothing or appearance.
Right.
Our topics are about like social injustices, and our topics are way more deeper than what a lot of K-pop culture talks about.
Right.
And you can see Namjoon struggling. He's struggling a little bit with it, because these are just like really hot topic, soup. Like, you could say
hardball questions.
Yeah, like you could yeah. seriously say something wrong right. or be taken the wrong way so easily with these kinds of questions. And you can just see Yoongi reaching for the mic. Like, Yoongi's like, let me talk, let he's me ready. Talk, you know? Yeah. Like, and when I think of Namgi and like their old days and the support that they had with one another, I go back to this interview
right.
because they both were in the underground hip hop scene.
Exactly.
They both, you know, really know what it means to write your own lyrics and hustle.
Grind.
And what it was like to go through like having to sell your music for way less than what it was worth.
Right.
You know, having a lot to say but not being heard. And so for all of these questions to be directed at Namjoon, you see Yoongi be like, nah, give me the mic.
Right.
Pass the mic.
Pass
let
the mic.
Let me help you. And this is when Yoongi ends up saying, like, we needed a bridge. Yes, like, maybe it goes against some of the hip-hop beliefs. Mm-hmm. Maybe it goes against some of the, you know, what the hip-hop scene is about, going into this more K-pop idol life.
Mm-hmm.
But we needed a bridge because I wanted my voice to be heard.
Right.
I had things to say.
Right.
Important topics to talk about.
Right.
And I couldn't be heard in the underground rap scene because right. just it's
you
so
would
hard.
Have never gotten the recognition.
Right.
You
yeah.
would have never risen to this status if you would have stayed as an underground rapper selling his beats for, you know, 10 won.
He literally said 10 won.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which like is a meal.
Yeah.
And a train ticket or something.
Right.
So like, yeah. So this was the bridge. This was the link that they needed for their voices to be heard,
right.
which I thought was such a smart way to go about it, because I feel like when it comes to rap and hip hop, you're talking about your own experience. You're talking about meaningful experiences or social injustices. And they were able to do that through the means. Mm-hmm. Their medium was through K-pop,
right.
which gave them a wider audience
right.
to be heard.
Right.
And, you know, of course, Be Free doesn't latch onto this. He continues to question. He continues to be degrading in every way possible.
Mm-hmm.
But what I just really admire about this early stage of Namgi is you see that they both come from similar backgrounds, and they both decided to go this route, and they supported each other through it.
Yeah.
You know, and like Namjoon being the leader, he did such a fantastic job, but like he was just getting beat to the ground by these questions. And it was just so loving and supportive to see Yoongi be like, no, this doesn't have to be all on you.
Right.
Let me say a couple things to take the pressure off of you. And
right.
I loved seeing them like team up and really stick to their own morals and like where they really like had similar beliefs.
Defend their music.
Right.
I love that they're defending their music here mutually. Like, they made the choice to take this route and they knew that it was the right thing for them. That is a really tough interview. I feel like that's one of those like very early on things of BTS having to prove themselves,
mm-hmm.
having to stake their claim, show that they're really in it because they are musicians,
mm-hmm.
and they're not just this like manufactured, put together, cookie cutter group, like they're really there to say something.
Right.
And Namjoon and Yoongi knew that from the beginning. Like mm-hmm. they were the ones who had something to say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And even though that they were K-pop idols, it was, no, we come from this hip hop background and right. we know what it means to write and produce your own music and the significance of what you have to say.
Right.
And who's to say we can't do that with K-pop?
Exactly. So it's so, I mean, just bridging us into the next topic from mm-hmm. there is that eventually they did do that with K-pop. So that interview is back in 2013, like shortly after their debut. And they...
A lot of pushback.
Right. A lot of pushback. Culture resistant to them because there really hadn't been like rap and K-pop combined in one group, like vocalists and rappers and making that sound. But in 2016, after, you know, 3 years, not including like trainee, but 3 years after debut of just hard work, they win Artist of the Year at the 2016 MAMA Awards mm-hmm. For Blood, Sweat, and Tears and Wings.
Yeah.
And it was an incredible moment for them. But what makes this moment so much more special is knowing their reaction, not just on stage, but behind the scenes, what they went and walked off stage and continued to react and talk about. So when they first got called that it was them, you know, before their name was called and they just have that kind of that suspenseful moment of all of them waiting, specifically this time watching it, we were watching Yoongi and Namjoon, and both of them are just on pins and needles. Like they look beside themselves, you right. know. Namjoon is, he's might as well be chewing his entire fingernails off, and like Yoongi almost has this face of like just assuming it's not gonna happen, mm-hmm. like just ready for it to not be them. And then when it is them, they cannot believe it, and they all stand up and hug, and they go up to stage, and as they're on stage, like Namjoon, before they even walk up, like immediately,
he's already crying.
Yeah. As they're hugging, he's already crying. Walking up on stage, Jungkook is crying. Jin is crying. I mean, just full tears streaming down their face. Yoongi stands strong, you know. Mm-hmm. Namjoon is delivering this whole speech and he's having to like choke back tears, you know, just to make sure that he can get through it and thank everyone he needs to thank, especially ARMY. And right at the end, he's talking about like this long journey that they've had and how hard they've worked and how they're just so grateful to have finally gotten this. And they didn't think at the beginning of their debut days that they would ever, ever get to this. Right at the end of his speech, and he's saying that Yoongi breaks down.
Right.
I mean, he just... Oh, covers his sobs. Whole face. He is sobbing. He is shaking so hard. He's crying than any other member, crying harder than yeah. any other member on stage.
Like Jin was gracefully crying. Beautifully like he looked crying. Beautiful yeah. while crying. Like in Jungkook, little baby. Like yeah. he looks so cute crying. Right. You know, you just want to hug him.
But Yoongi was Yoongi's ugly crying.
Sobbing.
He had, I mean, he hit his face. And thank goodness J-Hope was right next to him because he just took him right in.
Hard not to see the soap.
Right. I mean, it is. But Namjoon wrapping up his speech kind of like it gives Yoongi a pat on the shoulder and the, you know, rubs his back a little bit.
Yeah.
And so just to see Yoongi break down like that, like he was really trying to hold it together, but that's how much it meant to him for him to show that level of emotion.
They won Artist of the Year.
Artist of the Year.
Him and Namjoon had dreamed about that.
Right. So he goes and they walk backstage and he talks about that. He's like, he talks about how before the Wings album was even released, him and Namjoon sat together and bawled their eyes out thinking about their pre-debut days and thinking about how when it was just them, they watched the 2011 and 2012 MAMA together and they wondered if they'd ever debut and if they'd ever win together.
Right.
And like, there they were, you know, five years later, and they fucking made it.
They really achieved their dreams together. And what is mind-blowing to me is like, it's not even after debut where they're like watching this together after they debuted, right. thinking, will we ever be there? Will right. we ever get there? Right. This is before they debuted, thinking, will we ever even debut. Be a group
right.
to be able to win right. this type of award?
Right.
That's how far back they go.
Right.
And that's how long they've been dreaming together.
Exactly. That's how long they've been dreaming together. And so like, after this win, and Yoongi's telling this to the camera, Namjoon's standing there like with tears in his eyes, just like soaking in everything Yoongi's saying too. And Yoongi's still crying through the story, still in disbelief. And then they embraced each other so hard. Like, it was just so such an amazing embrace to see, like, these two, like,
very
best of friends,
figures.
Strong brothers, just... we made it, because right. in that moment, it really felt like our hard work got us here. Like, knowing their role in BTS and what they contributed to their music from the beginning, you know, like, they really had to feel like we have propelled our team to have reached this height here.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, they are the backbones of BTS. And what's so special about this behind the scenes moment is that you see them reflect on the past and what it took for them to get here. But all of BTS are emotional about this experience. And you mm-hmm. see Jin there, you see Jungkook and Taeyang. But for some reason in that moment, you can only see Namjoon and Yoongi.
Right.
And those are the only two members who fully embrace themselves yeah. because or each other, because it's like, we did it.
Right.
I mean,
we
all of
it.
BTS did it, but mm-hmm. there's a special... Yoongi and right. Namjoon moment of like, you and I specifically really worked so damn hard.
Right.
We've dreamt about this moment way before even BTS became a group.
Right.
Right.
On stage it was BTS's story, but backstage it was really, that moment was really all about Yoongi and Namjoon
yeah.
and how hard they had worked.
Right.
Yeah.
I've never been this nervous in my life.
Greetings from Longtime No See the Podcast. Every week, we'll be inviting two blindfolded comedians to answer a series of questions about their careers, lives, and opinions. Now, let's remove those blindfolds and start the show.
Hi!
What would your opening line with your celebrity crush be?
Loved you in Harry Potter.
Worst date you've been on?
A man bit my neck mole off once.
You did what?
A man bit my neck mole off.
Oh my God, Jack almost fell off his chair.
Be sure to follow and subscribe to the podcast.
So I think that this was a quote from their Subunit Festa video from this past year.
For respect.
Yeah, for mm-hmm. respect. So in this, we found this quote that just really struck us from Namjoon, where it's him and Yoongi, you know, talking about their work on respect. And he says, "We're the hare and the tortoise. We get things done." So this made us question, like, which one is which? And mm-hmm. immediately, not only because of the way he said it, but because of what we know about them, we see Namjoon as the hare and Yoongi as the tortoise. Because, I mean, just thinking about Namjoon at that Festa dinner, just burnt out. He's worked too hard and he needs rest.
Mm-hmm.
And then Yoongi at the Festa dinner with work stacked up, talking about everything
yeah.
he has to do. And he's like happily busy and steadily moving along. And so we kind of felt that, you know, tortoise and the hare in that dynamic. However, then in the video, when Namjoon says this, Yoongi replied that, quote, "we work fast," mm-hmm. implying that he can see himself as the hare. So Namjoon had responded with, "we're both fast and slow," meaning that depending on the situation, they can both be the hare or the tortoise.
Yeah. And what they also say is that, like, they've been with Big Hit the longest and that they kind of take things in stride is
right.
what it made it sound like, where Namjoon said, "hey, we got to do this."
Right.
And Yoongi be like, "all right, we got to do it." And
right.
then they would just kind of go back and forth and that they got things done.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they just had to do what was expected of them.
Right.
And they were able to just help each other through it and balance it enough
mm-hmm.
where one was able to help the other one out. And you can just see a lot of the teamwork that
right.
that went on between the two.
Yeah, it seems like when one needed to take the rest as the hare that worked too hard and too fast, the tortoise was there keeping them steady moving so that the hare could rest and mm-hmm. vice versa.
But they both were fast and slow.
Right.
That they both could counteract each other when it was needed.
Right. Yeah. And so I just love that concept of them and how they work together, especially just thinking about them getting that first, you know, Artist of the Year win at MAMA and how hard they had worked together and how much they had to have played that tortoise and that hare over the years to achieve those awards and that
yeah.
success. Yeah.
Yeah. So Yoongi, just talking about the first time that him and Namjoon met,
mm-hmm.
since they both came from the underground rap scene, Yoongi had seen some of Namjoon's work prior to joining Big Hit in the company. And he said that he was really fascinated once having met Namjoon, and particularly fascinated with Namjoon's baseless confidence when they first met. I love that quote of just like baseless confidence.
I love the adjective that the confidence itself was baseless. Like, yeah. This man must have been so outlandishly confident at that time that he just could not believe how overly confident he was.
Yeah. But Yoongi was not intimidated by it.
Yeah, of course not.
Yoongi goes on to say that he felt like a little bit competitive with him, that like, if it comes down to him and Namjoon, Yoongi's like, I'd win. Like, he straight up said that. Like, I would win if it came down to it.
Wow.
So there was
okay, I just have to say, though, the tortoise and the hare racing. Like, right. Really, though?
Yeah. I mean, it was so easy for us to imagine that they were maybe pinned up against each other, mm-hmm. because they both came from similar origins, similar backgrounds in the sense of, like, the hip-hop, rap scene. But when they ended up meeting, it was very fascinating to Yoongi, and that like he had a lot of confidence. Namjoon had a lot of confidence, but it doesn't really feel like there was any competition that was going on.
Right.
It ended up becoming a mutual collaboration between the two.
Right.
Naturally, collaboration came,
right.
Even though there could have been this tension of, like, I'm better than you. Mm-hmm. I have better rap skills than you. I can write lyrically more dense topics than you. But it just became...
Instead of it being, like, a one-upping, it became a, like, cohesive, like, synergy between the two of them.
Yeah, working relationship.
Because it seems like Namjoon, with all of that confidence, he maybe wouldn't be intimidated by Yoongi. And Yoongi is self-assured enough, like, for him to immediately think, if it came down to it, I'd win.
Yeah.
You know, like, clearly, like, he's not worried about losing in that situation either. So, you know, maybe it didn't turn nasty. It was just... You know, immediately from the get-go, they really respected each other as artists.
We should work together.
Right.
Which I think is very, very unique. You know, I feel that in that circumstance, it's so easy for them to get, especially when you're working towards being a part of a K-pop group.
Right.
It's cutthroat.
Right.
It's like the best, only the best can be in. And so everyone is your competition.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems like once they met, even though Yoongi felt that sense of like, I could beat him out.
Right.
It didn't turn that way. It became more, hey, like, we could really work together and be a part of a team together.
Right. I wonder how early on it was that they realized that they had common ground and, like, common interest for, like, lyrics that they wanted to write, or just common interest in the types of music that they wanted to make, because that might have been like a huge moment for them to realize, hey, we could really do this.
Hey, yeah, we have similar thought processes,
right.
And similar opinions on life.
Right. Because it seems like it, they do.
Yeah.
So something that I like to think about when envisioning them as producers together and lyricists writing together is from In the Soup 2, you know how Yoongi had like that trailer that basically became his studio?
Mm-hmm.
There's that one rainy morning where Namjoon chaotically runs out in his sandals through the rain, and then like in the rain him and Yoongi sit out underneath the awning of the trailer and they turn their mic packs off and they're talking about their upcoming album and the songs that they're planning and working on, and just really discussing, but just in their own little world. Like, not only are their microphones turned off, but like the rain is coming down them, almost like just having such a private moment, even though all these cameras are on them and,
yeah.
You know, every army watching is interested to know what they're talking about. And it just was so great to see them collaborate in that way. Like, they're just talking through it out loud together, clearly being each other's core confidant in the music that they're making. So whenever I think about how they work together, that's always what I have in mind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that moment in particular because you do get to see that they turn the mics off, because we can't hear about what's being said about their upcoming album. But you hear Yoongi say, hey, I have this beat. I want you to hear it.
Right.
And you just see the two listening and smiling and commenting back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
And I just imagine this is a very rare glimpse that we get into the production and songwriting side that goes on between these two.
Right.
And we know that with BTS's discography from the very beginning, it has been these two.
Exactly.
Obviously, we have P-Dog, Slow Rabbit, Supreme Boy,
Hitman Bang,
mm-hmm. all helping them.
Right.
But it really comes down to when it's the BTS members from beginning to current day, it has strongly been Namjoon and Yoongi.
Mm-hmm. Both in production and lyrics.
Yes. Yeah. And, you know, this is my own personal opinion because we've only gotten so much of the two. I feel like this In the Soup was a very rare moment where we get to see them actually working together.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel that when it comes down to it, Yoongi is such a heavy production side.
Mm-hmm.
Yoongi has the producer mind.
Mm-hmm.
Some of their best BTS songs where it's really the production side that we hear Yoongi coming through.
Mm-hmm.
But then I see Namjoon as such the lyricist.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not to say that they don't do both.
Because Yoongi definitely has amazing lyrics too.
Absolutely. Yeah. We see that with D2, D1.
For sure.
He can write his own lyrics for sure. And then we hear Mono and, you know, Rap Monster and the first.
And we know he can produce too.
We know that he can produce as well. So, but I just really see that producer side of BTS coming from Yoongi and the lyricist coming from Namjoon.
Yeah.
We hear like Namjoon. All of the demos and talking,
all of his demos,
writing Singularity and Serendipity for the other members, and just really talking about the lyrics. And you hear him sing the demos where he has the melody and the lyrics already written.
I always think of his Love Yourself Hervey live, because that one was so in depth, where if he were responsible for like a lot of that production, then he would have been talking about the production side of it. But instead he was bringing up Yoongi. He was
really
bringing up P-Dog and, you know, but then of course he's talking about the lyrics. This is what I was thinking with the lyrics. This is what I was intending. This was the melody I was interested in going with.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, him recording that demo for the other members to listen and to learn the song in that way.
Absolutely.
I mean, I think I'm totally on board with you. I think there's so much evidence pointing towards Yoongi being like that main producer role and Namjoon being that main lyricist role. And I think they both do some of
They dabble in each,
but I think that that's like their main strength and where they play together so well, because that's such an amazing coupling.
Right. And for me, just being a Beatles fan, I can't help but to see the parallels with like the Lennon-McCartney dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
But this isn't really uncommon in the music world and how musicians work well with one another.
Mm-hmm.
It always to me seems to be a dual companionship where it's like there are two people specifically involved in the lyrics and songwriting and the production.
Mm-hmm.
I really think about Lennon McCartney.
Mm-hmm.
When I think Lennon McCartney and go to BTS, I go to Yoongi and Namjoon.
100%.
I just think about how there's like the Chainsmokers.
Right.
Or Simon and Garfunkel,
mm-hmm.
or thinking even about just
like Billie Eilish and Phineas. Yeah,
right.
For sure.
Elton John and his main songwriter, you know, like there always seems to be a combo, two people involved. And that for me in BTS is Yoongi and Namjoon.
Right. Totally. Mm-hmm. Totally. I think that they have that dynamic. And like, I think that's why they're able to work together so well and kind of marry those similar life philosophies that they have between their production and their lyrics, because they have enough of those things in common that they can make sure that their production aligns with the lyrics that they want to go with. And they can really get the intricacies in there where it's like, wow, that really feels into the feeling that I was going for right there.
Exactly. Yeah. Which really gets into our next topic of just how these two have very similar life philosophies.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is why they work so well with lyrics. You mean you hear Namjoon come with his rap verse and Yoongi can so quickly add on, you know, his own thoughts, but still touching on similar themes.
Mm-hmm.
So we see that these two really have similar interests in psychology, sociology, history, and social injustices.
Mm-hmm.
All of the Love Yourself themes, we really see so much that Yoongi and Namjoon have in common.
Right.
Even with the Map of the Soul, I really think of the Map of the Soul series with like the ego, persona, microcosmos. They both had a lot of learning and they both had read so much about like the Jungian psychology themes and ideologies, we know that Namjoon had done a lot of that, but in a lot of their V Lives and with like Yoongi's radio show that
Suga
he
FM.
Did.
Yeah.
Yes, Suga FM.
Yeah.
He talked a lot about like reading Youngian
right.
books and writings. And so you see that these two just had a lot to talk about. Like they had similar interest in it
right.
and then were able to build full concepts around it together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I think that like even in the Love Yourself themes, like they both have talked in various interviews or like in their own individual mixtape lyrics about that concept, you know, and in different ways. And then we see it come together as the Love Yourself, Her, Tear and Answer series where mm-hmm. we're really exploring that full topic. And I can't help but to think that's from their minds.
You know that they're talking about it with each other too.
Exactly. And they're yeah. talking about how hard it is and all of the different ways that they don't love themselves and how they can try to triumph that together or, mm-hmm. you know, through their lyrics. And yeah, totally.
And like, not to bring the focus to us, but I just think about like us as podcasters too. When we talk about BTS's lyrics, I have my own interpretation of it, but to hear your perspective gains so much more light and
right.
helps me understand it better
right.
or have understand different meanings of it
mm-hmm.
and that it's not that I disagree with it. It's just, I wasn't brought to light to it
right.
until you had questioned it or had said one thing that sparked another idea for me.
But we respect each other so much that
yeah.
when the other one of us shares an idea like that,
it's just a different perspective.
It's just, and we feel like, wow, I am so glad that you shared that. And that you
I would have never
that.
Thought of that.
Right.
But
exactly.
it makes so much sense.
Yeah.
yeah. And I feel that happens with these two.
It has to be their experience. I feel like they have enough common ground in their history, but enough differences in their lives also that they're able to have those slightly differing perspectives while having that middle ground.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. So like, oh man, even talking about their social injustice that they both care about and both talk about, this is highlighted in works from the beginning of their discography to current day, but like, Bapse, No More Dream,
right?
No, Am I Wrong? Like so many more songs on top of that, but those are like even further back, and that's straight up Namjoon and Yoongi.
Yeah.
Like what they want to talk about, what they feel like is wrong, and they want to address it. You know, I feel like these songs are the fabric of BTS's discography, and the themes important to Namgi are woven into their music here from the beginning.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, I feel like, especially with No More Dream and No, like they really are talking about those major injustices. And it
mm-hmm.
takes me back to that interview of like how they both came from the underground rap scene where
right.
they were talking a lot about specifically these injustices.
Right.
And it's just fascinating and just admirable to see that they were able to work so closely together and speak proudly about these very difficult topics as a K-pop group.
Right.
You know, that like really hadn't been done before.
No, it really hadn't. And when they were doing that, that was what was also groundbreaking, is that they were still sticking to what they wanted to talk about and writing those lyrics and addressing those important topics because they were being authentic. And
yeah.
thank goodness that Bang PD and Big Hit, you know, allowed them that freedom back then and really trusted that it was going to work because
they saw value in that.
Right.
That's what makes BTS so successful. And what I think Hitman Bang did right was
mm-hmm.
that like, I need my artists to be able to talk about what they want to talk about.
Right.
I need to allow that for them.
Right.
It's not about the image. It's not about, you know, the visuals, the perfect dancing, the perfect vocals and rap.
Mm-hmm.
I need to make sure that my artists are speaking true to their personal experience.
Right. I think he really has empowered his artists to do that.
Mm-hmm.
He definitely cares about those other things, but like
right.
I think at the forefront, at the foundation, what we always felt like as fans, seeing them come up and grow over the years, you know, those special little meetings that you would have with the members before a big important something, it really came across that at the core he cared about them as artists, them as individuals, and wanted to make sure that they were being taken care of and heard. And so I think that that environment allowed, you know, Namgi to really flourish in their artistry here.
I think that's what made them agree to the K-pop life.
I think so too.
Was like, okay, I'm on board with the singing and dancing if I get to talk about what I want to talk about in the music.
Oh, what an incredible partnership there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel that their collaboration for the song Strange on D2, we had Yoongi have Namjoon on as a feature for the song Strange. Mm-hmm. And that song really highlights their mutual questioning of the world and the confusion around its many societal contradictions.
Mm-hmm.
And what is so brilliant about this song and unique about this song is that you hear Yoongi talking about what he finds so obscure or just like confusing about the world is this kind of like fog that's in front of everyone in front of them. And I feel that all of us see that to an extent, but it's not every day that you find someone where you can talk about that with and have them really understand what you're talking about. But Namjoon gets it.
Right.
And it just makes sense to me that Yoongi's like, who else do I talk about this with but Namjoon?
Yeah.
Kim Namjoon is the only person I know could like really speak to this and understand what I'm talking about.
Right.
And I love that they get to share their different verses where they're, I mean, it's a perfect showcase of like, we both see this and I can write my own verse and how I perceive it. And Namjoon can write his own verse and how he perceives it. But we both are talking about the same thing, you know, and we both understand where one another is coming from. And isn't it strange? Like, Kayla, it's my favorite song on D2. I mean. Come on. Like, I think I continue to mention it in every episode. Like, I'm like, I like Strange a lot. Like, it's one of my faves. But I really do feel that it is my favorite off of D2.
Right.
And you just see, like, it's like you get to step into a conversation between the two.
100%.
They're literally just talking to one another about, hey, have you observed this? Yeah, I've seen it too. Like, this is my perspective. This is my perspective.
Right.
I get it. Right. I see it. And you just get to hear them talk about it in this song. And I just think it's such a blessing. Yeah. I love Strange. Not only do we all have had an experience of this or have observed this or thought about this at one point in time, but to just hear these two in depth talk about it and collaborate on a song together.
I think you're so right that this is just, you know, them having a conversation.
Yeah.
Like, this song is a representation of how their conversation on a topic like this or any topic adjacent to this would play out, because it's Yoongi's masterful first verse, as if he's coming there to Namjoon to like just get his opinion, see how he thinks about it.
Like, have you seen this too?
Right.
Right.
And then Namjoon at the beginning of his verse, the second verse, he like, I mean, in the verse, I think he even shares some of the same lyrics from Yoongi's verse, but it's like, he's validating, he is understanding, he's seen it from that perspective. And then for the rest of Namjoon's verse, he continues to postulate on that and just think about it in his own way. And they, and you know, share, yeah, this is what I've thought about, you know,
what can we make of it?
Right. And I can imagine that this is how so many of their conversations have gone.
Play out.
And that's how we've gotten these incredible songs from them over all of the years.
They're such thought-provoking songs.
Yeah.
Really. And it just shows like they have very similar philosophies in life.
Yeah.
Like they see the same, you know, they obviously have different perspectives, but like the overarching theme between the two is like, they get it. They understand one another. And it's just something that they can both really connect on. That they feel like those are conversations you can't have just with any acquaintance, you know?
No way. I just think the perfect word is coming up right now, which is the respect that they have for each other.
Mm-hmm.
I think they have such profound mutual respect that they trust each other so much and they can have these types of conversations.
Let's talk about respect.
We can't not talk about respect on a Namgi episode. So Respect is a song that really allowed them to find the middle ground between serious and funny. They kind of broke the concept of the big egos on the rest of that album, you know, with the other songs, by showing mutual respect for each other in a playful way. And similar to Strange, in this song, they're both questioning what respect is, why it should be given, when it should be given, how it should be given, who deserves it, and both kind of sharing not only just their questions on it, but their opinions on it at the same time. But one thing that's clear throughout this song and the performance is that they have mad respect for each other.
Each other, absolutely.
Yeah. What I love about this too is that the song itself only took them, they said, like 20 to 30 minutes to write, which
is insane.
Yeah. That, I mean, it just blows my mind that you could put down a piece of work in that amount of time and be like, we're done with it. It's perfect. It's just amazing, like the workplace chemistry that they have to be able to get that song down in that amount of time.
Right.
But it's also, I think, a testament to how well they know the topic and how much they respect each other to be able to do that in 30 mm-hmm. minutes tops.
Mm-hmm.
Also, they commented on the great chemistry that they had while on stage performing together. I think it's clear to see in the actual performance. You can see how much of a blast they're having. Yoongi gets a big smile across his face towards the end.
Right.
And then by that time, Namjoon can't hold his either. And once, you know, slips out, whatever.
Uh-huh.
And then Namjoon actually said that it was almost like performing Cypher Part 1 in 2013 together, which he was just saying
wow.
It was just super nostalgic and happy and free.
I absolutely love respect. I think it is so interesting that they could have so gone with the super serious, what is respect mm-hmm. perspective that they...
The strange version of it,
right. But that they wanted to have fun with it.
Right.
Even though they're having fun with it, they're asking such a major question. What is respect? And they're asking all of us, you shouldn't just respect out of pure... Mm-hmm. obligation or what it's expected of you.
Right.
That you should always question who you are respecting.
Right.
And why you are respecting them.
Right.
And it's just wonderful because, like you were saying earlier, throughout the song, all you really sense is the respect for one another.
Right.
Like, they have earned and gained respect with each other through working together and, you know...
Just, they yell it in the song at each other.
Right.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. But it's just... Even though they're being lighthearted and goofy, like, I just think about the performance where they're, like, sidestepping, uh-huh. dancing, Yoongi, gummy smiles,
right.
You know, Namjoon being a goofball.
Literally.
Seeing that they're having such fun while also saying, like, what is respect? Mm-hmm. And we shouldn't just respect anyone and anything just because it's expected of us.
Yeah.
Or it's built into culture.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
I love Namgi emboldening us to have a question, like a healthy questioning of authority.
Right.
I really believe in that, to be honest.
That's what he's saying.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Overall, Namgi as our producers and songwriters, like, I think we always knew the large role that they both played, but really going into this Namgi research, I think we really understood fully for the first time just how much their songwriter producer dynamic probably carries through their entire like work life together,
right?
And how they've built BTS's discography together in that way. I didn't think we quite thought so much about one having a main role over the other, but it seems so much like that, you know, now in hindsight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's such a synergistic relationship between mm-hmm. the two that they really have countered each other in every way, at
yeah.
every turn
yeah.
in the BTS's career. I
yeah.
mean, from beginning to current day, but you really, because of their history, see it so much at the mm-hmm. start. But even when you look at Respect and D2, which, I mean, we're talking 2019, 2020, mm-hmm. 2021, it continues on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I just had such a shock moment thinking about them at the Festa dinner. Sorry, this is just so out of left field.
Yeah,
but I'm just
I love
thinking
it.
About... They are like yin and yang, like,
yeah.
and the way that they work together and the way that they balance, like, they just balance each other so well. Thinking about Namjoon on one end of the table, like, so burnt out, lost, Yoongi on the other end of the table, like, ready to work hard
uh-huh.
and self-assured, and, you know, how in any moment, either one of them could be on that spectrum, that scale, and I think that the other person would be that support system for them and getting them through. So
absolutely. That Festa video.
Yeah.
Just seeing them both at like what I would call the heads of the table.
Yeah, for sure. The heads of the table.
Heads of the table. Namgi at the heads of the table. Other. It felt like all of that conversation was heavily Namjoon and Yoongi.
Yeah.
Of course, the other members talked, but it looked like Namgi were just staring at each other the entire time.
Right.
You know, that's from my perspective, but it really felt like those two had the most to say, and what they had to say was so specifically valuable in terms of this hiatus and this break that they were going on.
And who else to be at the heads of the table besides the main producer songwriter?
Like, really?
Really, though? I mean, it all seems
I think all of ARMY can really see the impact of and the importance of Min Yoongi and Kim Namjoon of this group.
Yes. Oh, thank goodness for Namgi.
Namgi.
So we're going to talk about, I know we just talked forever about how amazing they are as a duo in their work life, but we are going to talk about a couple of their flirty moments that we found and some amazing friendship moments as well.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the, I guess you could say a little bit flirty, like, how does he know this? so there was this, I forget what the video was. It was like at the end of one of their like vacation and they are sitting around a campfire.
Yeah.
But they're giving each other gifts and Namjoon, he was so proud of this gift. He had such a big smile on his face. He said he had to order it from overseas. He knew exactly what it was.
He saw it and knew who it was for.
Exactly. And he got Yoongi a gift of underwear. And it was Yoongi's exact, like, preferred brand and size. And, like, Yoongi, like, even, like, was, like, he didn't show the camera, but he's, like, stretching out the band of his underwear, showing the members, being like, it's literally the ones I'm wearing right now.
Right.
So I just, I love that Namjoon knows what underwear Yoongi wears.
They wear the same size.
The same size.
Yeah, they wear the same size. Ugh. And Namjoon knows Yoongi well enough that he's like, yeah, this is his underwear. This is his brand.
I'm going,
like,
to get this,
I mean,
for him.
You know your friend's underwear size and, like, preference. Like,
we've been friends for not 12 years, but so long. And I would never think about gifting you underwear.
I truthfully
even as a
would
joke.
Never gift you underwear. I wouldn't know where to begin. Like, Fruit of the Loom?
Weird.
Like, what? Like, what underwear do you wear? I would not know.
I'll tell you after the podcast. We just don't have to make it public, but I feel like we should know this about each other now.
But that just shows how close these two are.
Yeah.
Something that I really think of that is such a Namgi married moment is during the 2022 Festa, where Yoongi, he is just listing off all of his schedules and all of his activities. Like, he's like, I've got Pilates on this day, I've got this on that day. And RM just chimes in and reminds Yoongi, oh yeah, you have a dentist appointment the next day. And Yoongi just looks at him like, how do you know that?
Oh,
like,
my
how
God.
Do you know that I have a dentist appointment?
Right.
Like, it sounds to me like me reminding Corey, like, hey, don't forget you have this tomorrow or whatever. Like, it's only married shit.
Right.
But it is just so humorous to me that as Yoongi is listing all of his activities, Namjoon's like, yes, and don't forget about your dentist appointment, you know? Like, you have that tomorrow. And Yoongi is just, like, so dumbfounded, like, how did you know?
Right. And also, like, he maybe would have forgotten.
He needed that reminder. Like, of his list of things, he forgot to list that.
Right.
Also, just talking about flirty moments between these two, it's hard for us personally to see the true, like, flirty, like, these two could be involved kind of relationship.
Right.
But what I would say is that when you see Yoongi being the adorable Min Yoongi that he can be, like, you know, like, little cat.
Little meow meow.
Yoongi, little meow meow. Mm. Little gummy smile. Mm. Like, super soft.
Yeah.
Namjoon fucking loves that. Like, he loves that shit. He fully dives into it.
Yeah.
You know, when he sees, I really think of, like, the Run episode where they're, like, at the water park and stuff and they have to put the helmets on.
Yes.
And he's got, like, his little chubby cheeks all pushed up because of the foam of the helmet.
Namjoon cannot get enough.
Namjoon cannot control himself. He's just like, you are so cute.
He's all over his cheeks.
I just want to pinch you. Like, he just is, like, all over Yoongi.
Cute.
And he thinks Yoongi is so adorable. But at the same time, Namjoon being, like, the goofy dork goober that he can be at times, Yoongi is, like, head over heels thinks he's the most hilarious creature on this planet. Like, he just thinks he is so funny. He will fully be consumed by any joke that Namjoon has to tell. It's just like admirable, these two, like Yoongi being so cute and Namjoon being so funny, like both of them really give into one another on that level.
For sure. I love when that happens too. It's adorable. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Another thing that I really think of, like flirtatious moments, if you really want to look into it, during the Respect performance that they did for Map of the Soul, Namjoon gets on one knee. Not once, but twice.
Right.
He gets on one knee in front of Yoongi looking up at him like, respect. Like, what is it, you know? And everyone is like, all of ARMY's like, Namjoon is getting on one knee for Yoongi. Like, Min Yoongi, marry me.
Right.
Namjoon feels the way we feel.
Right. He gets it. He knows.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that moment.
Another really cute flirtatious moment between the two is during like the Baskin Robbins commercials and just that whole brand ambassadors that they had done for Baskin Robbins. Mm-hmm. There's a behind the scenes where we see Namjoon leaning over very closely to Yoongi and he's like trying to lick his ice cream. But Yoongi is so flustered. He's like, he like cannot handle Namjoon getting that close to his face. He kind of looks at him seriously like, Hajima, like back off. And Namjoon is like not backing off the slightest.
No, not one bit.
And Yoongi can't help but to like cower and just like embarrassment and also like completely smitten. Like he looks smitten by it.
Yeah. Flustered for sure.
Flustered, absolutely. Yeah.
I just love that it's Namjoon like advancing like this, like on being Yoongi. Persistent, right?
Yeah.
Because the one thing that I would say, especially with how cute Namjoon always comments that Yoongi is, I feel like Namjoon could totally simp for Yoongi. Like,
true.
If he wanted to, he could be like, damn, Min Yoongi. I mean, couldn't we all?
But it really looks like Namjoon coming on to Yoongi.
Yeah, you know? For sure.
Yoongi looks really taken aback.
Yeah.
He's like, Hajima,
what's going on
like, what
here?
Are you doing right now?
Right.
Yeah.
So one of like, I would say my absolute favorite of what you could call is like a little flirtiness would be, it was during a Run episode, I think. And Namjoon and Yoongi are reenacting a K-drama. And in this, like they're reenacting a kiss from a K-drama, but instead of kissing, what Yoongi has is a pocky stick in his mouth that he like is sticking out of his mouth and Namjoon has to like bite it off.
Yeah.
But like he doesn't do it from far. Like he gets real close before he takes a bite.
Yeah.
So like, I mean, it's almost like and kiss.
It's like just Lady and the Tramp moment.
I mean, literally. But there's like 2 centimeters of distance between their mouths here. And I feel like if there's anything that's like, ooh, Namgi, like that's the one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like they were able to get that close to each other's mouths without like cowering away.
Yeah, I mean, they both seemed really into it.
They kind of did.
Okay.
Well, so, let's go ahead and get into friendship moments. I mean, we love the flirtatious moments, but like us personally, we just don't see it. Although we both agree that it's a really hot ship. Like if they were a thing.
As a combo for sure. Like I would read some Namgi fanfic.
The fanfics.
Yeah.
Were there.
But IRL, I'm not seeing it.
No.
But their friendship is immense.
Yes. There's no question that their friendship runs deep. Even in their early days, they were close and very comfortable with one another. We go back to February 17th of 2013, where Namjoon crashed Yoongi's very first YouTube log. And it is so funny because it's Yoongi's first vlog. He's trying to make a good impression. He's taking it very seriously. But you see Namjoon in the background just like freestyle rapping. He's distracting him. He's smiling and having fun. They're also like working on a song together at the same time. But it's just so funny to see Yoongi being like, this is my first vlog, like, fuck off, pretty much. And Namjoon is being the most chaotic self that he can be.
Right.
And what I think is so funny and also just loving about this vlog that you see is, like, there may have been a lot of pressure for Yoongi to be doing his first vlog. Like, maybe he was a little nervous. But Namjoon being back there, being such a dork, like, it's like, you can't be doing anything any more embarrassing than what I'm doing right now, you know?
Right.
Like, it kind of takes that pressure off. And totally. I just feel like, I just see so much support on both sides. Mm. But what's so funny is shortly after this, Namjoon does his own log. And Yoongi is in the background making sure he is being the loudest, most chaotic and obnoxious self. Right. He's got like an acoustic guitar with him. Mm. He's just like chaotically strumming this guitar in the background, distracting Namjoon from his vlog. Yeah. So like you just see this comfort that they both bring for each other, but also like the just friendship that they have.
Yeah.
And that they can both be crashing each other's vlogs even from day one of their debut.
They're that comfortable to crash each other's vlogs. But I also just love that perspective that they do, you know, they're like, let me be the one who's getting embarrassed here, because they BTS have talked a lot about how like a little bit awkward like going live can be, especially when you're alone.
Any like awkward silence or like not knowing quite what to say,
you really
what
feel
to respond
it.
To. Mm-hmm. And seeing Namjoon be just like absolutely complete nonsense in the background really took that pressure off of Yoongi.
And
like
Yoongi
was like, I can't be any more embarrassing than what's happening behind me right
exactly. now. Exactly. I think that's so smart. And I feel like Yoongi was just able to just smile through it and just kind of like get through it and be like, okay, got to turn this off and keep this short because this chaos in the background.
Yeah, while also showing the genuine friendship and chemistry between the two.
Yeah. I love that as a friendship.
Which is so loving as a fan. You're like, you really see that and you're like, wow, what great friends.
Yeah.
Like, you can't help but to see that they just enjoy each other's company.
Yeah, for sure. So I want to talk about Run BTS episode 38. And oftentimes ARMY online will be like, you know, this is like Jungkook and Taeyang sharing one brain cell, right? But in this episode of Run, we get to see Namgi share one body because they play a variety of games, but one of them is this one called One Body. And in this game, pairs of members are given different clues and they have to make the same action acting as one body. Of course, Namgi are on the same team for this. So they're told to portray a bunch of different things. They list off, I think like each team has like 7 or 10 different things. But one of the things that they're told, the first thing is BTS, and they both instantly go into the Bangtan gun pose.
Yes.
They're both told to portray winter and they both, you know, grab their shoulders and start shivering. Mm-hmm. They're both told to portray RM and they both immediately stand there like arms crossed and jut their chin out with like a closed mouth smile, which I also caught. I just have to say, Jimin was also doing that from the side.
Was he?
Yeah, it cracked me up. And then they even both get chicken, where they're told chicken, and they both, it took me a minute to feel like, what are they doing for this? Because I think chicken, I think I would start to act like a chicken. They held up, like, acted like they were holding up a drumstick to their mouths. Mm. Even using the same hand and, like, the same grip on, like, this imaginary drumstick. And I think the most iconic moment from this is when they're told, I need you, and they both instantly go into that over the head, like, hand clapping, hand spread apart.
I need you,
Girl, when that moment and they both just instantly do it like no thoughts, just boom boom. It's iconic, simultaneous. They end up doing a few more and they're just matching up with each other instantly, and the members from the sidelines are like reacting with astonishment, like they're like, surely they're not gonna get another one, unbelievable, you know, right? Just like the members from the sideline talking about how in sync they are. And then at the end, after they kind of finished up, and of course they got all of them right, Yoongi said that him and Namjoon are soulmates.
No.
And which I was like, no, so cute. Because we always think about V-men being soulmates, but I just love that Yoongi kind of like snuck that in there. And he said like they've been living together for so long, like they ought to be able to act as one body. So I just love, he's like, we know each other so well, we're soulmates by now.
Truthfully, like if I think about V-men being soulmates, if there's anyone else in the group who are soulmates, Namjoon and Yoongi.
Who understand each other on that level. Yeah, for
Namgi.
Sure. Namgi.
Yeah. So another really memorable moment between these two is during the Radio Disney interview from 2019, where they were responding to a question of, when you were younger, what did you want to be when you grew up? And after letting everyone else answer before him, Namjoon said, me? Well, I wanted to be a dad. And he says it with this like big chinning smile. Oh, and it's just so memorable. Every ARMY knows this moment.
Right.
And Yoongi quietly turns to him and says, you can.
You can.
You can. Ah. And of course, Namjoon's like, yeah, maybe someday, someday, right? But it's such a cute moment of instant and kind support from Yoongi to Namjoon. Like, Namjoon, to me, probably shares his concerns a lot with Yoongi about all of his responsibilities and that he's probably specifically worried about him having the time to be able to be a dad. We talk about Namjoon struggling with his personas, his many roles mm-hmm. in life, and then to add another role of father. And you know that Namjoon's not going to take that lightly, the role of a father.
Right.
So, you know, I'm sure to him it's like, well, I used to dream about being a dad. And, like, to him it might be inconceivable with who he is now and the role he has now. And for Yoongi to be right next to him, like, you can. Like, right. you can be a dad.
Right.
Like, you absolutely can. And Namjoon just feeling like it's just something that couldn't happen, but laughing and being like, maybe someday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that instant support for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So another moment I want to talk about is, it's not from a Run episode, but it's branching off of a Run episode. It's a punishment from Run episode 153, where in that episode, Yoongi lost a singing contest. So as a punishment, he had to go walk on Seoul Sky, which is an attraction at the top of Lotte World Tower, which is the tallest building in Korea. So he got to choose a member to go on the punishment with him. And who else but Namjoon?
Yes.
Was his choice. And so they had to cross the sky bridge, and their last thing they had to do was make sure that they did the permission to dance challenge while standing on it. So I just wanted to say, to give you a little perspective, the sky bridge is 541 meters in the air, or 1,745 feet high.
That is really high up.
Yeah, real high.
1,700 feet in the air.
Yeah.
Nah, I'll pass.
So in addition, as a trust exercise, part of the challenge, the instructor, the guide who was up there telling them what to do, made Namjoon lead Yoongi, who was holding onto his shoulders with his eyes closed. He made it Namjoon lead Yoongi over the gaps in the walkway. There was like five or so just open gaps where the bridge was just a hole. And he had to Namjoon had to coach Yoongi into stepping over them.
It's like a trust exercise.
Oh, yeah. And if you don't, you're gonna fall through this 541 meters hole. They were strapped in, but you would definitely fall a little bit before the cable caught you or
You'd
something
feel it, right?
You would feel it. It'd be scary. So Namjoon really had to communicate and reassure Yoongi, but they made it. And then they got to actually sit down on the middle of the bridge together, and they got to overlook and soak in the view of Seoul there, which is like, it's the highest view that you can look at of Seoul. And so this view is beautiful because it's right over, like, I believe that's the Han River right there. And you can see, the two sides of Seoul kind of on either side of it. And so it's just such an incredible view.
Gosh, this is such a precious moment for these two.
I know. They kind of sit there and they dangle their legs off the edge of the bridge, and they're just holding on to the cables that are, in front of them for support. So this is very cute that they're doing that together.
Uh-huh.
And then while sitting there on the bridge, Yoongi says, "Perhaps it's a good thing that I came."
No.
Oh,
no.
So cute. Like, he's just grateful to have this view, have this moment and this experience with Namjoon. And then another thing they had to do was yell out off the bridge what they wanted to say to the other member. So Namjoon, he kind of was jokingly with his one. He said, "Why didn't you bring J-Hope?" Because he thought it would have been hilarious to see J-Hope scared out of his mind.
Yeah.
But then Yoongi, of course, yelling second, he said, "I appreciate your hard work as leader," which was also like, way too cute,
yeah.
Way too precious. And I do think that Yoongi really does appreciate Namjoon's role that he's taken as the leader, even though they've both been there from the beginning. The first two members, it was Namjoon who stepped into that role, and I think Yoongi has always, appreciated him for that
and admired him for it. Yeah,
for sure.
And as precious as a moment for them as this is, this is a common theme that Yoongi has brought to us about Namjoon. When he talks about Namjoon, he's always talking so much about how he genuinely respects Namjoon is a leader. You hear him say from like the respect, the behind the scenes for respect, Yoongi said, as a leader, he has to bring a grand unification between everyone. Bringing different people together is Namjoon's strength. And you see that Yoongi really respects this and really honors this as something that not everyone can do, but something that Namjoon's particular strengths can really bring to the table for the group. And he mentions that Namjoon not only is a genuine leader, but like during Island, he mentioned like the endless list of responsibilities that a leader has, and that with all these responsibilities does not come much reward. And you just see that like Yoongi understands that he's not the leader of the group, but you can see that he has so much trust in Namjoon, so much love and just appreciation for the sacrifices that Namjoon does mm-hmm. for the group.
And I think because of that, he really believes in and has put himself in a position where he can support Namjoon as the leader.
Yeah.
You know, I think he like, because he trusts him so much and because he has such admiration for the role that he's taken on.
Empathy too.
Right.
The empathy of like, yeah, man, it must suck. It must suck. You have all these responsibilities and really not much reward in mm-hmm. return. Mm-hmm. So really, like, who would want to be the leader if that's the case?
Right.
It's all this additional stress without any kind of payoff.
Right.
So, yeah, I think that Yoongi provides any kind of support and comfort for Namjoon in any means that he can.
Right, because he does have such empathy for that role.
Yeah.
I thought that was a very insightful thing for him to say to the Islanders at the time, too.
Right.
Because they're at that time trying to decide if they want to be able to eventually step into that role, into this group that'll be formed.
They don't know who the leader is yet, but they're being put in positions where it's like someone has to take the lead. That's right. Just... generally, when groups are working together, someone has to facilitate.
Right.
And it's confusing at that time when there isn't a clear leader, but someone is put into that position and then not knowing quite how to lead that it benefits all.
Right.
So, right.
Yeah. So, I mean, Yoongi is just saying here Namjoon really does.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wow.
Overall thoughts about Namgi.
Mm.
What I appreciate and love most about Namgi is just the longevity of the friendship, the respect of the friendship, and just the depth of what they connect on
mm-hmm.
with lyrics and their hip hop origin.
Yeah. I feel the same way. I think that like all of the moments that they've had over all of these years together, we could have spent all this time talking about all of their different interactions and things that they've done and said, but where we really are fascinated is their partnership in how they work together, how they balance each other and like who they are as artists, and not only being incredible friends to each other as humans, but being incredible companions in making music.
Right.
They've made such fantastic music together with real meaning and real themes and things that have really touched people's lives through putting their minds together.
Yeah. The cohesion of their minds. The cohesion.
Yeah.
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 It's very rare,
mm-hmm.
I feel like.
I think so, too. I don't think that it's far-fetched for you to say it's like that Lennon-McCartney style.
I don't think it's far-fetched. I proudly say that.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so common in the music industry to have, you know, not a solo artist, but a solo artist who has a writer or a producer who just gets it, who just understands and can create music through the same artistic lens that you can. And these two have it. These two absolutely have that.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Such a blessing to be able to talk about Namgi this week. I love them so much.
It gets me in my feels.
Me too.
As much as I love Taehyuk and V-Men and any kind of Hobie ship, soap.
Right.
Fucking soap. I love them. There's something about Namgi that can't be topped.
Special. So special.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How do you feel about continuing the rest of this conversation, especially about the FACT Music Awards on the Iconic Hangout?
I'm down to do that.
Because we're getting a little long here, and I've really loved and enjoyed talking about Namgi all of this time. And I know that Iconics are going to want to talk about Namgi more, and I don't want to take away from them at all by mentioning the Factory Music Awards at this point, although those were incredible, and we should definitely talk about it. But I think we should do it at the Hangout.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
Okay.
And it was a music award where, you know, we see Jin get an award, we see BTS get an award, and we love their speeches. But we can talk about it there.
Yeah.
I think that this episode just needed Namgi. There was so much to say about the two.
I think so, too. So, Iconics, we hope to see you at the Iconic Hangout. I think we'll be doing that probably next week. Mm-hmm. So, after this episode comes out the following Monday, if you're on our Patreon, $5 or more, you can join us to continue this conversation about Namgi, but also to talk about BTS's wins at the Fact Music Awards this year.
안녕하세요.
We love Namgi so much. Namgi putting out there in the world like thankfulness and gratefulness for who you are as people and the work that you've done together.
And your friendship.
Your friendship.
And your support for each other.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And we are so thankful for our patrons on Patreon, our VIP Iconics especially. Eileen, Michelle, Deja, Meg, Rachel, Robin, Emily, Madison, Holly, and Sophia. Thank you guys so much for all of your love and your support.
Yes, thank you.
It means so much. If you enjoyed this episode, please let us know. Write us a review, DM us, post on our, you know, whatever. You know how to reach us at this point. You can find links for that as well as the Star Legacy Foundation in the description.
Thanks for listening, and thanks for stanning BTS.